Oh, you put him.
Yes, he is.
Good morning. Tony, I know the
question. I like your shirt. Come on, ring that bell.
Jay? Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Gales Creek Community Church of God. I don't do this very often. So.
We'll be fine. Just look at the slides up there.
Oh, look at the slides up there. Oh, wow.
We've got help.
All right. Adult Sunday School. Sunday's at 9:30 a.m. Be here a little early and have fun. We have Gales Creek Gleaners and Food Pantry. Gleaners is on Wednesday, and Food Pantry is Wednesday, and that's at 10:55. Food Pantry is 10:30 to 11:30. And help us out.
Also by appointment.
Oh, by appointment. Okay. We have Zoom prayer on Wednesdays, and I hear really good reports. Sometimes I catch it off on the side. Sometimes they see me, my face. And I want to say it's really a real blessing time to really listen to prayer requests and to hear the praises, the answer to prayers. And monthly potluck coming up March 3rd. A turkey is provided. So please plan accordingly. I love turkey and dressing. I like two kinds of pie too, Lori.
Okay.
Yeah, hot and cold.
Took me a second.
I believe we have a God of humor. Ladies, do plan on the spring connection. And there's flyers on the back table. And March 22nd is our annual men's retreat. Come and see me if you're interested in coming down just for the day or whatever. And there's scholarships available. So if you've got a money issue, come and talk to me because it's already going to be taken care of. So all bases are covered. And I think, that's it.
Yep.
That's
it. Prayer.
Yes, please.
Bow your heads with me, if you would. We're going to have our opening prayer. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for all of the hands that it takes to have a worship service and that we have people to step up and serve in that capacity. Bless each one. Thank you, God. Thank you for our bell ringer. Thank you for the musicians and the singers and the people running the slides and taking care of our sound. We do this all for your glory, God, and we pray that today someone will be blessed because of our offering of our gifts and our time. All for your glory we pray it. Amen.
Amen. Call to worship. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me.
And he's not under a rock.
No. All right. Time to sing.
He pardoned my transgressions. He sanctified my soul. He honors my confessions. Since by his blood I'm whole, it is truly wonderful what the Lord has done.
Yes, it's truly wonderful. Yes, it's truly wonderful.
It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name. He brings me through affliction. He leaves me not alone. He's with me in temptation. He keeps me for his own. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done.
Yes, it's truly wonderful. Yes, it's truly wonderful.
Yes, it's truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name. He keeps me firm and faithful. His love I do enjoy. For this I shall be grateful and live in his employ. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done.
Yes, it's truly wonderful.
It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name.
Yes, it's truly wonderful.
Some old favorites.
Yes.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
That's the song we're going to sing all week in our car when we're driving. It will come back to you.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and ease near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God.
Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need You to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd,
This is a special moment when we can give back. This is a special moment when we should be praising God at the same time. I'll share with you later on prayers and praises, a real praise. God, we just pray that you bless the giver. May we be joyful giving in return. And we want to give you all the praise and the glory right now. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all his people said, amen. Praises. Well, I'm going to share a praise right now, and she doesn't even know that I'm going to acknowledge her. Phyllis, happy birthday to you, and to Jesus be true. May the Lord come and bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Phyllis. 36, right? Well, I thought so. Going backwards, it's a real blessing when we can share another year praising God. It's a real blessing when we can say, God, I need your help. I need your help. I can't do this alone. Any other praises or prayer concerns? We do have a prayer concern, and that is Ivan and Sarah aren't here. They've got head colds, right? And Tony reassured that, yeah, it's pretty bad. He stays in their trailer. He's staying away from them. He's probably got a great big X. Don't go in the door. But we want to pray that God just covers them and comforts them right now. Continue prayer for the Ray family as God is blessing them and seeking them out. And I've got to share with you something. And I shared with our pastor this morning. I went to a man's funeral yesterday that had just received Christ within 3-4 months before he passed away. Three people went to see him. One person is a brother-in-law that has been continually going and going and going to see him and talk to him about Christ. He's, oh no, I don't want that. I don't need that. No way. As time progressed, the interesting metaphors he used slowly disappeared. When I went to see him, no more metaphors. He prayed with tears running down his eyes. We prayed for healing in the family. I was blessed to share with his family those prayers. God uses us. It's a confirmation. Pastor Teresa and I were just talking about confirmation. When you have brothers and sisters praying for you and you know that you're being prayed for, it's a confirmation. Right, Tony? It's a confirmation. Lifting each other up is a confirmation. Any other prayer requests? Or do I have it pretty well covered, which isn't? Jeremy's tooth has bothered him. We want to pray for him. Wink? Wink has shared a prayer concern for our first responders. They're out there in the battlefield, whether they're police, whether they're fire department, whether they're EMTs picking someone up for various different reasons. We need to pray for them. We need to praise God that we have them. Tony. Tony shared with the mass shootings after the Chief game and the parade. These, a lot of more children, a mother didn't make it. I saw that in the news, and I did see the one boy that saved his own life, basically. But we need to pray for them. Post-traumatic stress. What is that? PTA? Whatever. You guys know what I mean. But anyway, we need to pray for God's comforting spirit around them. Only God can give that. Jeremy, did you want to say something? Two things. Jeremy had shared that they're rebuilding. They're building a brand new elementary school in Cornelius where the old one exists now. It's going to be on that lot. And he's very stoked about it because his kitchen's going to be new and he's going to be working in the new kitchen. And he's really what. And what's your second one, Jeremy? All right. Our son Jeff and Jocelyn will be here for Jeff's graduation from George Fox College coming up in April. And yes, Tony, I agree. We're looking forward to that. I have a prayer request for my brother Fred. He's hurting. His knees are hurting him bad. He doesn't say it. He's a very proud person and doesn't like to talk about his own self. But we want to lift up Fred in prayer. Any others that we need to be aware of? Yes, Kim. Jim? Tatum. Kim shared the prayer need for their son, Tatum. Right. And just going through stuff. And have God take his mighty boulders or move that stuff away. Yeah, wisdom. God uses a baseball bat on me with wisdom at times. Ouch. What's that, Kim? Right. As a parent, it's very hard for us to know what to say or do for our loved ones. I understand. Yes. Yes, we have women that are at the women's retreat right now. And my reports have came back. We're having a great time. Glad you're not here. but it's great. I'm glad they're having a good time. And we want to pray that they have traveling mercies back too. And they're having a wonderful time. Some of them are spending an extra night so they can really have a good time fellowshipping. So we want to lift up the women's retreat. And while we're at it, our men's retreat coming up in March. Pray for that too. All right. I have a special prayer request for our pastor. And when we do the prayers and we've done our kids' song, we're going to have a special prayer for you, Pastor. God, we just want to lift you up for our prayer needs. My brother Fred, his wife Carolyn. Lord, we pray for that you give Carolyn strength today. God, remove the depression. Remove this gray cloud that's over top her. Give her peace. Give her comfort. Give Fred the peace and comfort too. Father God, we want to pray for the Ray family, Lord, that you touch them with their house search, that things are going to go through really well, that you've got the place designed for them now. And we pray, God, that we're going to see it happen. They're going to see it happen now. God, we want to pray for Wink's request, for the first responders, the firefighters, the EMTs, the police officers. God, I have friends that are firefighters. I have friends that are in the police department. I see the need. I see the need. And they need to know that people are lifting them up in prayer. God, we want to pray, Lord, for Tatum, Lord. That you be with him and the decisions, that he makes the right decisions, Lord. We want to pray, Lord, that you touch Mike and Kim. Give them strength here. God, we want to pray for Debbie, Lord, that you help her move better, Lord. We want to pray, Lord, that you touch our brother Scott. We want to pray that you just be with him and help him move and can move around better, give him more ability. And God, we want to pray the same prayer, being with Tony, Lord, you're with this job, that things are working good with Linda, Lord, and the situations with her family, with Libby, and the situations there. You know them more than we will ever know. God, we want to pray that you be with our women in the retreat, Lord, that you're in the center of the retreat. And Lord, we want to praise you that they can do this, that they can be together and they can be confirmation sisters. We want to pray for men's upcoming retreat. And this, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, all his men said, amen. I meant all of us, not just men. Excuse me. We are going to sing a song, and I don't have my Bible with me. It's back there. Oh, it is. All right. Long time ago, many years ago, we would face this way, the sanctuary, and we would raise Bibles up and we would count them. And we'd say, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, this book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. I think that's what Ivan said. Ivan, Tony instructed me earlier this morning, said, Bill, Uncle Bill, you're just a big kid at heart. Doggone it, you made me tear up. As we're in our minds praying, being excited what our pastor is coming up, I want you to come up here. I want to pray with you. And all of you that want to come up and pray with us, feel free to do so. Great, mighty God, we just give you all the praise and the glory right now. God, we pray that you touch our sister. Fill her with your Holy Spirit. Fill our minds with your Holy Spirit. Comfort us. Give us peace that passes all understanding through you. Give her the anointed words. Move within me, within us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Bill, for that prayer. And we lift up our young people as well. We know that God has called us to be examples for them. And so we want to pray that we do right by our young people. Amen. And so good morning to you all. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be with our brothers, our sisters, our siblings in Christ. And we are going to continue in our Epiphany series. Remember, Epiphany is revelation, having an aha moment. You might have been struggling with some information and didn't understand, but all of a sudden, clarity comes. And when we talk about Epiphany when it comes to Jesus Christ, it's the, he is the long-awaited for Messiah. That's what Epiphany is about. And so, We've talked about so thus far about how Jesus was revealed to the sick, to the suffering, and then the unclean. Remember the man with leprosy, those who thought they were righteous. And Jesus said, oh, there's actually something more to being in relationship with God. So there's a physical uncleanness that Jewish people practice, and you had to go to the priest so he could deem you clean. But Jesus is saying there's an uncleanness in the heart that only God himself can do. And that's by the means of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to talk about another revelation. Jesus being revealed to the people. So follow as I read from the New Living Translation, the first portion of chapter 1 of Mark. So Mark chapter 1. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. So Mark says, it began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is the voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. And all of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, okay, spoiler alert, sounds kind of disgusting. The food he ate was locusts and wild honey. Now, the honey is good. I'm not so sure about the locusts. So then John announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Then one day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my beloved Son, and you bring me great joy. The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe in the good news. Amen to God's word. Mark presents to us, the readers, whoever had the privilege of reading his passages on those pieces of paper that was circulated amongst the churches and to us now today. He presents to us the beginning of the gospel, so to speak. He portrays for us how Jesus started his ministry and the big reveal to the people of Israel. The Messiah's revelation happens on a few levels when you read this passage, and that's what we're going to talk about. There's John the Baptizer. There's the crowds that are actually going and getting baptized. They're watching their loved ones get baptized. And Jesus himself. Is a revelation even for him. And until recently, going back over this, I never even thought about the revelation that happens to the enemy of our souls. Because there's some data that's also revealed to the devil himself. But let's talk about John first. We know from other accounts that John, known as the Baptizer, is related to Jesus because Luke, another gospel writer, identifies the family ties between Mary and Elizabeth. Elizabeth, as you recall, is John's mother, and Mary, Jesus' mother. Now, it's unclear what the exact relation is, but they are kin. Because the word that is used to describe their relation is the word for kinfolk. So when you go back and read in Luke, you go, oh, okay, so somehow, are they cousins? Is she an aunt? Like, what's the deal? Somehow they are related. They're of the same household. And so she could be a second cousin, even. And the miracle of Mary and Elizabeth's relationship is that when they visit each other, their unborn babies, because they're both pregnant at the same time, remember? Their unborn babies jump and are excited to see each other, even though they can't really physically see each other, right? The spirit moves in Elizabeth in her womb. Listen to Luke's description of their interaction. This is from Luke 1, verses 39 through 41. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. That's Elizabeth's husband. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, just the sound, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit acknowledging the Spirit. The God in me recognizes the God in you, and so on. That happens to us even today. Sometimes we ignore it or we aren't quite aware. But when you go, there's something about that person that I don't know what it is. I really like them. Yeah, it's probably because of the Holy Spirit. And we just haven't figured it out yet. So John and Jesus are not recorded as reconnecting until the day of Jesus' baptism. But that actually doesn't mean that they didn't technically know each other well and know each other intimately because they were related, right? Since Mary and Elizabeth knew each other, we can assume that their children did as well. You know how you grow up with your cousins? You go and you hang out with your cousins, right? It's the normal thing that would happen. So we should assume that that's what happened with Jesus and with John. But who knew, however, that John would grow up to become the wild and crazy baptizer that he did, that he would become the second Elijah crying out in the wilderness? Now, Jesus' siblings, and maybe some of the other cousins, most likely didn't claim John after he became John the Baptizer on the account that he was kind of odd. You saw the description of his clothing and what he chose to eat. Very strange dude, right? But we've all got those kind of cousins and relatives in our families where we just kind of, that's cousin so-and-so. That probably happened to John later on after he became an adult. But even so, John the Baptizer doesn't know that his relative Jesus, who he used to attend school with, play all kinds of sports and games with as a kid, has been the Messiah all along. John knows his calling because the Spirit is working within John. He knows he's supposed to go out and preach to the people to get them ready, right? He's living his life as God is directing him. So he preaches in the outskirts of town. Again, he's not even like acting like a regular rabbi. He doesn't go to the synagogue and try to preach to people. He goes out to the city limits and is preaching to anyone that will listen. And then he baptizes them. When they confess their sin and repent of their sin, he invites them into a deeper relationship with God. So he's inviting them to prepare their hearts to believe in the Messiah once the Messiah is on the scene. And it's on that particular day that John is back out practicing his habit of preaching and baptizing people when he looks up and he sees Jesus is next in line. And that's when the Holy Spirit reveals to him, that's him. It's then that John realizes, my cousin, seriously? Wow, he's the one who's going to baptize people in the Spirit. Now we have to talk about what also happens with Jesus, right? because he is the main character in this passage. By the time we get to verse 9, God reveals again to Jesus that he is with him, and it's time for him now to start his public ministry. Jesus has known all along, but when he was a kid, God sent me here and I have work to do for God. But he kept quiet, living his life as a regular person all this time. And now when he comes to be baptized, God says to him, hey, I know things are going to get tough, but I am with you. I love you. And then he physically shows Jesus that he is with him because he allows him to see the Spirit come down out of the sky. And it looks like, is that a dove? Like, what is that? Oh, it's the Holy Spirit coming to be with me, to empower me to do this great work for God, because this is why he sent me here. So notice the scripture does not indicate that others see the Spirit descending or that they even hear the voice of God. I remember growing up, that's the way people always taught me that passage. Oh, the people saw the Spirit coming down looking like a dove and they heard God's voice. Well, that's actually not what the scripture says. And even when you go to the other accounts, you can read about it in Matthew 3 and also in Luke chapter 3. They don't mention the crowd being in on it either. This is just a revelation for Jesus himself to be reminded, I'm still with you. I'm going to guide you through this process. You are not alone. The writer's focus on God's revelation to his son. God reminds Jesus, you got this. You got this. Why? Because I'm with you. And then the Spirit drives Jesus out further into the wilderness where he encounters both angels who will take care of him while he fasts and he prays, as well as the enemy who will come to tempt him. Now, it's a very interesting thing when you read this scripture that the word for motivating Jesus to drive him out is a very forceful verb. Like, no, he's not just compelled. He's basically pushed out. No. You can't stay here with the people right now. They needed to see you get baptized. And guess what? Now you got to go in deep. So it thrusts Jesus out further into the wilderness. Now, mind you, John already is in the wilderness. So Jesus goes further into the outer limits because he needs to be with God. And then the devil comes along. It's very fascinating how God sets us up to better understand who he is and who we are in him. In the wilderness is where we see that the enemy of our souls finds out exactly who the Messiah is. Even the devil heard the rumors of the Messiah. There were great prophets over time, and John the Baptizer was the latest buzz among the people of Israel. The enemy checked John out to see if he was the Messiah. Remember, people were like, is he the next Elijah? Is he the Messiah himself? And John says with his own mouth that, no, I'm not the Messiah. I'm just here preparing the way for the Messiah. So the enemy is like, he's eavesdropping. He's listening. He goes, okay, so you're not it. Well, who is the one? Because I got more work to do. The devil himself is looking for who the Messiah will be. And then Jesus came along and officially starts his ministry. He gets baptized and then spends days on end talking with God and strategizing just like the prophets of old did. Jesus is doing exactly what the prophets did back in the day. Probably reminding the devil of Moses, right? And how he spent days in the presence of God, so that he would return to the people with power and might and speak the word of God boldly, right? And then furthermore, Jesus is getting the attention of angels just like Elijah. Do you remember the story of Elijah, the prophet Elijah? He went out, was in the wilderness, and animals came and fed him. He had ravens feeding him. That was the Lord providing for Elijah. So just like Elijah, Jesus is the prophet, the greatest prophet, and God takes care of him. He meets him out in the wilderness, empowers him for the work that lies ahead, and takes care of him. Now, Jesus has not just ravens coming to take care of him, but the angels themselves. And so this is when the enemy decides to tempt Jesus, wondering if it is finally true that God came through after all these years and delivered on his promise of the one who would crush his head. You got to go back to the creation story. Remember at the fall, once Adam and Eve sinned, God says way back then, I'm going to take care of this. I see now that my relationship with humanity has now been severed because of their sin. But guess what? There's going to come a day, Satan, when your head is going to be bruised by the one that I send. And Satan's like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm in charge. But he knows God. He knows God doesn't lie. So he too, like humans, are watching. When is it? Is it that baby? No, it's not that one. Is it this one? No, it's not that one. Well, this one's mighty. It must be that one. No, it's not that one either. So he keeps looking. And when he comes and he finds Jesus out in the wilderness, oh, he must be one of the newer prophets, like his cousin John. Well, we'll see what I can do. I will tempt him. If you are the Son of God, remember, that's what he says to him. Well, then these things should be able to happen because you're the Son of God. The enemy is thinking to himself, we'll see what he's made of. But he gets proven wrong. Why? Because Jesus didn't take the bait. Jesus knows the word of God better than the enemy does, and he uses the word of God to prevail over him and to win out over the temptations. So then Jesus returns to the city, and once John is jailed, as the scripture passage says, he starts preaching the same sermon that John was preaching. Good news! The time of God has come. Repent. And so Jesus picking up the sermons that John the Baptizer preached was witness to the people that heard him that God had finally revealed his Messiah. You see, so there's a bunch of revelations happening. Jesus is revealed to his own cousin. God reveals the power and might that's going to continue to be with Jesus so that he can see his mission through. The Messiah is also revealed finally to the enemy. He gets to see physically, oh, so you're the one. And then the crowds get to know who Jesus is. Because as soon as John is put in jail, he goes, this is my time now to go and to show the people that the Messiah is here. God has not forgotten you. And it's the same message that we get to share today. It doesn't matter where you live, where you work, how much money you have, how much money you don't have, all the things. We are the bearers of good news. There is an answer for all the things that are happening in your life. There is an answer for what happens to us when this world ends. When we come to the end of our life and people are mourning our loss, what happens to us? There's an answer for that. Jesus is saying there's good news. It doesn't have to end here. You can live with God in eternity. And so Jesus picks up the sermons of the baptizer. He preaches and witnesses to the people that heard him that God had finally revealed the Messiah. And the time to turn back to God is now. And so that message doesn't change. And yeah, so the crowd may not have seen the Spirit descend upon Jesus. Maybe they didn't hear God's voice speaking to Jesus, but they did hear the good news that Jesus preached time and again. They had the choice to believe and receive or to continue life as it was. So the takeaway for us is that we too have the same choices as the crowds who heard John. Hey, get it together. The Messiah is coming. And to those who heard Jesus, the Messiah is standing right in front of you. Choose life. This is what the gospel is all about. Choosing life. We can have that same choice. We can trust God's word that what Mark recorded for us to read is indeed true, and that Jesus is God's Messiah. Or we don't have to believe those things. We can live as if Jesus had not been revealed. The truth, however, is God revealed Jesus to those individuals, into groups, and now to us. And as he told Jesus the day he was baptized, God loves us too. And we can bring him great joy by receiving his Son and allowing the Spirit to work in our hearts, to work in our minds, to show up in our lives. That's what God wants from us. We don't need to have special fancy words to go and preach to people. We don't have to be as extreme as John, unless, of course, God calls you to do that. Praise Jesus, amen. He did not call me to do that, so no locusts for me. But what is it that God's called you to do? Shine your light. Serve others. Be kind. Pray for others. Whatever God has given you and gifted you in your heart and that your body can do, use it for the glory of God. That's how we spread the good news. Pray with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for revealing Jesus and all of these examples, so that we can better understand who Jesus is, how you used him to love us, to repair our relationship with you. And thank you for entrusting us with that very same ministry, to share the good news with others. Empower us to trust you, God. We need you for salvation for today, in this present life, in this world, but also we trust you for salvation for the world to come. We ask these things because we know it's your will. It will bring you glory, and we need your power to make it so. Amen and amen. All right. Let us close with a song, and I'll come back with our benediction.
Jesus, my Lord, he is the mighty King.
Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all angels, almighty God, this Jesus, my Lord.
Thank you, praise team, for leading us in that. And my prayer for us this week is that the lyrics from that song go with us. If we want to truly make Christ master of everything, that means our lives, that means our very will. That's what it means to follow Christ. Every single day you're getting up and you're saying, okay, God, what is it that you want me to be doing? What should I be saying? How do I show up for the people that you've placed in my life? That's how we make him master of everything. So go now, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that God is with you. His Holy Spirit empowers you to let your light shine, that you can be salt, and that he can be the master in your life. Go in God's grace, go in his peace. Until we meet again, God be with you.
All right. Thank you, God.